Our scripture from our gospel today comes from Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. And before I read today, I want to ask you a question. We asked earlier in the centering moment, when was a time where you were in awe or wonder? And I wondered if you'd ever had an experience that was so out there that you were hesitant to tell anyone else. Anybody had a moment like that? Or you knew something was going to happen and you weren't sure who you wanted to be with you because it needed to be someone particularly special you knew. And this is sort of what our story is about today, is that Jesus has a moment and he's very particular about who he brings with him. So listen to this passage from Matthew today. It says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus, before he goes up onto this mountain, had a pretty difficult week the week before. It was one of those weeks where everybody wanted to sort of pick and challenge. And he was constantly having to correct people and having, like, you know, edgy exchanges with the religious authorities and even among some of the disciples themselves. And he's getting ready in this part of the Gospel of Matthew to turn his face toward Jerusalem. What Thomas Long, a preacher, calls his death march to Jerusalem. And so Jesus is entering the gloomiest season of his life. And so as he prepares himself for this season, there's this moment that's not talked about in the Gospels, but you can infer it by reading, where he says, "Who do I need to be with me in this moment? I don't want to be alone." And it is one of the most uniquely human things about Jesus, that in his gloomiest moment, as he knows, as he's had a tough week and knows that things aren't going to get much easier, as he knows he's about to experience something powerful, he asks his friends to come with him. I don't know whether you have friends like that or not. I think sometimes it's rare to have friends like that, that when you are at your worst, you want them to be with you. We are really good at pretending everything is okay in our lives. We're really good at that. And we're really good at saying, no, I don't need you right now, even when on the inside we're going, actually, I sort of do need somebody. I actually had an experience this week where a friend of mine texted me super early in the morning and asked if I was home, and I said yes. And she had fallen on the running trail that goes in front of our neighborhood and was obviously hurt enough to reach out. But then when I called her and said, I'm coming to get you, she said, no, I don't want you to see me this way. But I think we all resonate with that, don't we? We all sort of can understand that when we're at our lowest, we don't want people to see us that way. And here is Jesus, who invites Peter and James and John with him for support. And so they climb a mountain, and June's got a picture of the mountain, or Tony's got a picture of the mountain back there. And this is Mount Tabor, all the way in the back. You can see it. So they climb that mountain to the very top together. And when they get there, something happens. Jesus completely transforms into this bright and shining light. And so Jesus, this very human person who needs his friends with him, has this moment of pure divinity where he's glowing. And they see the glory of God within him. And they are scared. And they're not really sure what to do with it. And here show up Moses and Elijah. Just in the passage before, Jesus had asked, who do you say that I am? And we actually read that same verse from another gospel last week. But who do you say that I am? And people said, Moses and Elijah. And it was almost like when Moses and Elijah and Jesus show up, they go, oh, he can't be Moses and Elijah. Here they are with him. He's somebody altogether new and different. The Messiah. Our friend. Both human and divine. Both human and divine. And so I think in many ways, Jesus brought his friends along so they could see exactly who he was. He opened up to them. In all of his humanity and all of his divinity, he said, here I am. And he did it because he knew he was going to need them. He knew he was going to need them for the journey. Now, we are beginning on Wednesday, the 40 days of Lent. And these days between the transfiguration of Jesus and when he is crucified and resurrected on a cross, crucified on a cross and then resurrected. And how well do his disciples handle some of that? Not very well, do they? They are not necessarily the support system that he needs in some of those moments when he struggles the most. They fall asleep on him. They deny him even. And yet, they are still his friends. And afterwards, he still comes to them and puts his faith and his trust in them. In many ways, he is a friend like none other, one who forgives, one who sticks by us even when we fail him. Even when we fail him. And so how can we be God's friend in these moments? I have to tell you, I did not ask Ken to do that song today. When I heard we were doing it, I was like, oh, I'm already talking about friendship. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works in those ways. But how do we become a friend of God? Not just God's friend to us, but how do we become God's friend? How do we do the things that friends do for one another and for God? How do we walk with people in a way that allows them to be vulnerable, that allows them to see them at their worst and at their best? How do we be the person that people aren't afraid to call on when they need someone? And I think the way we do it is that we do it like Jesus did it. That is our calling, isn't it? To be like Jesus. And so we need to walk into Jesus' footsteps in this way and be the kind of friend that allows people to see us at our worst. And not to continue to put up walls and just have the smile and the face that says, we're good, we're fine, don't worry. But when we become vulnerable for others, other people will allow us to be with them in their vulnerability. And the same goes for the moments that are crazy and wonderful that maybe we can't explain. Those moments of awe and wonder when we have our friends around us and we may not be sure how to say what we need to say, but if they're with us, they will be with us in that joy as well. They will be with us in that joy. And so I invite you, particularly throughout Lent, I don't know if you have given something up, if you are adding something for Lent, what your discipline will be over the next 40 days, but may I challenge you that friendship be one of your disciplines? That you think very hard about your friends and seeing God's image in other people, allowing them to be vulnerable, but also sharing in their joy. What discipline can you add that will help you to be a better friend to others during this season of Lent? Someone who God can depend on to be faithful in folks' time of need. Let us pray. God, give us the strength this day to glimpse your glory in the faces of those around us. And strengthen us, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus, to be the friend that you are calling us to be for one another. And in that way, God, we are doing it for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.